I'm Davis Donovan, and I cover news for WSHU Public Radio that sometimes takes me, well, off the path. Staying well-informed is essential to a well-functioning democracy. Understanding facts and filtering out noise takes work, and our mission at WSHU is to help you do that through coverage from our newsroom, NPR News, and the BBC. We're expanding our world together. Thank you for your support.
Hey there, you're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from around Long Island Sound. There's a new law in Suffolk to help protect animals. How cuts to AmeriCorps will impact Connecticut. New York State will tap into its rainy day fund for unemployment insurance debt. Plus, Imani Wins speaks to WSHU. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Animal abusers are now banned from owning pets in Suffolk. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio explains a new law on the county books.
Residents who were convicted of animal abuse had their names added to a registry under existing law, but a loophole allowed them to acquire new pets in the future. County Executive Ed Romaine says the new law closes that loophole and penalizes anyone on the registry who owns an animal.
I'm signing this law to protect the animals, our friends, our family members, which they become after a while.
Violators face a misdemeanor charge with a $1,000 fine or jail time. The Suffolk County District Attorney's Office says they prosecute about 55 animal abuse cases every year. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
A national community service program that supports volunteers in Connecticut is suffering from federal funding cuts. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports.
AmeriCorps was founded by President Bill Clinton in 1993. Tim Larson is the director of Connecticut's Office of Higher Education, which is responsible for the state's program. He says AmeriCorps had grown in popularity, with applications increasing by about 20% per year.
These individuals were never a cost burden. They were and are an investment in our communities. The investment that generates returns in academic success, improved health outcomes, civic engagement. Ending these programs is now like breaking the engine of a train while traveling uphill.
Connecticut received nearly $8 million from the federal government for AmeriCorps last year. Attorney General William Tong has sued the federal government in an attempt to stop the cuts. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul and legislative leaders are set to tap into the state's rainy day fund. John Campbell reports.
The governor often touts her successful efforts to invest billions into the state's cash reserves. Now she's set to take $8 billion from the fund as part of the state budget deal. That money will be used to pay off a big unemployment insurance debt that has lingered since the pandemic, forcing businesses to pay higher taxes.
Call this my counter to the tariffs. I mean, it's not everything that's going to help, but it alleviates, $300-$400 per employee.
The funding transfer is set to be in the final state budget, which lawmakers are expected to begin voting on later this week. In Albany, I'm John Campbell for the New York Public News Network.
Coming up, the Grammy Award-winning wind ensemble Imani Wins speaks to WSHU.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
Hi, I'm Emily Boyer, music host at WSHU. So many times people have said to me, I'd love to get into classical music, I just don't know where to start. And it can feel overwhelming. Well, I'll guide you to amazing performances by today's outstanding artists and tell you a bit about the music along the way. Discover music you'll love starting at 9 on 91.1 FM, 107.5 FM, and streaming online at WSHU.org.
Suffolk County's comptroller found serious problems with how the county is handling money from the state's opioid settlement fund. The county got over $100 million to fight the opioid crisis, but the comptroller says it's been slow and disorganized in giving it out and lacked public input. County Executive Ed Romaine has promised to fix the system. Danbury's Nuvance Health says it's finalized its merger with Northwell, New York State's biggest healthcare provider. The $20 billion deal expands Northwell's reach to much of Western Connecticut and includes a $1 billion bailout for Nuvance, which faced big financial burdens. Connecticut has started a new alert system to help find missing adults with intellectual or developmental disabilities like autism or Alzheimer's. It's called the Purple Alert. It works like the Amber Alert for missing children and the Silver Alert for seniors or adults with mental health issues. Marijuana-related emergency room visits have increased since New York State legalized the drug for recreational use back in 2021. Some Long Island hospitals have felt that rise. WSHU's Nathan Valerenti has more.
In 2019, New York saw over 58,000 cannabis-related ER visits. 4 years later, that number jumped to over 135,000 incidents, according to state data obtained by the USA Today network. Dr. Carl Kaplan is the chief of pediatric emergency medicine at Stony Brook Children's Hospital.
In my opinion, we see an increasing frequency of marijuana and cannabinoid-related visits in both children and adolescents and young adults. It's something we see every day.
Some of these visits include children who accidentally eat cannabis gummies that look like candy. Kaplan recommends that marijuana only be used at the legal age of 21, for new users to start with a small dosage, and to safely store the cannabis so children are not exposed. Nathan Valerenti, WSHU News.
The Grammy Award-winning wind quintet Amani Winds has played adventurous classical music for audiences around the country for nearly three decades. They're set to perform at the Shue Community Theater on May 17th. WSHU's Ada Uzenlar sat down with the founding member, Toyin Spellman-Diaz, to learn more.
Some performers are nearly wordless on stage, but that doesn't describe Amani Winds. All of you talk throughout the performance about yourselves, about the pieces. It feels personal. Can you talk about that choice to have a bit of dialogue going?
Well, I'm ashamed that other people aren't talking. That it's so fun to talk to the audience and have them get to know us a little bit. It's really important for there to be a breaking down of that wall between the stage and the audience. And so we introduce pieces not just so that we can introduce the music and the composers and the times it was written in or how it all fits together, but also so you can get to know us as individuals. I think we try our best to bring our personalities through our instruments. But I think having the introduction with our literal voices, as opposed to our musical voices, means that everybody gets a little more connected.
I know you have personal ties to Connecticut through family. Imani Winds performs all around, but does performing here make the experience even more special for you?
Every time we go to a place that is connected to our childhood or our own personal lives, it makes the concert that much more special. And of course, we all live in New York, so it's not like Fairfield is so incredibly far, but this important place of my childhood, my mother grew up in New Haven, as did my aunts. Like I said, my grandfather was a minister. My grandmother taught Spanish and was a reading teacher. So I just have a lot of connections to the area. Every time I go up the Merritt, I feel like I'm going home.
I've never heard something so kind about the Merritt. Now, this quintet has been playing for nearly 30 years. You started as a group out of college. What's changed? What's evolved?
In the beginning, we felt like we couldn't just play music by composers of color because we felt like we had to prove something. We had to prove that these musicians of color could play these instruments. But as time went on, we've realized that the music in and of itself is enough, that as long as we do a great job to introduce it, we could play the most contemporary blippity-bloop-blap-blap music, or we could play music by composers of color, or we could play the most sonorous, beautiful, quiet, contemplative stuff. All of it can be built into a wonderful concert. You just need to figure out stacking and where it goes and how you introduce it. And then you just play as your authentic self, and it sounds magnificent.
And when you do play some of the contemporary kind of different music that an audience who's a little newer to classical music might not be familiar with, how might you introduce it?
Well, it's all the same. It's all the same, Ada. As long as you build a connection to the composer's intent and maybe point out what's cool about it or what's new or what's particularly challenging, then people can understand it. Now, on the other hand, if we play in all sorts of different types of venues, we play from Carnegie Hall to prisons, some of that music we probably would not bring to some audiences. Read the room.
And read the room you will. Thank you so much for your time. Toyin Fairfield is looking forward to having you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was Imani Wynn's oboist, Toyin Spellman-Diaz, speaking with reporter Ada Uzumar. Head to WSHU.org to learn more about their performance on May 17th. For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen to us on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or with the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. If you've got questions about public media funding, we've got answers. Our quick guide explains what's at stake for WSHU, what we know so far, and how you can help out. It's all in one place. Just visit WSHU.org. I'm Sabrina Garone. As always, thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll speak to you tomorrow.